On behalf of myself, Susan Turnbull, and Richard Spivak, we'd like to welcome you to this collaborative investigation number 77. Today we're exploring a pretty of individuals and organizations to be at the appropriate level of readiness to be able to understand the right mix of technology to allow the type of nimble response needed in high performance and emergency environments. Everybody is kind of aware of some of the new tools and capabilities that are supporting virtual organizations in other settings, such as the distributed science community. What we're about is really trying to understand the commonalities in these settings, as well as the specific needs in emergency response. One of the key leverage potentials is the modeling and simulation that you'll be hearing about from Chuck McLean. In effect, as we have sufficient opportunities to practice for the types of scenarios that might unfold, how important that is, and then how important is it that these practice spaces also are minimized in terms of their complexity, so they really can, many communities in the appropriate individuals can avail themselves of these spaces. And then what does that space, virtual organization space, look like as a real emergency unfolds? So we've got lots of questions and challenges, lots of good discussion ahead. What I wanted to do is just take about 5 minutes and give you a little background to the workshop series, which has been underway for over 7 years now. And in fact, we started in the spring of 2001. And in some respects, this workshop series reflected something that I was looking for when I moved to this Washington, D.C. area, actually more than 20 years ago, and that was a place where members of the community, together with members from federal agencies, universities, could organize and have conversation around key challenges. As I moved into a federal agency and having worked on the Hill, I was curious if we could find a means of organizing that might be responsive to intractable problems of individual constituents and constituents from a region of the country. And so what I actually envisioned is a workshop series like this as a place to practice how we might respond as federal agencies and nonprofit organizations and private sector beyond if there was a very specific request from one or more congressional committees to address intractable problems being experienced by the public. So this is the beginnings of that practice space for us, and it has been ongoing. And what we try to do is open up the insularity that can unfortunately fragment us. So we've got tremendous capability and expertise, but what we seem not to have is sufficient opportunities where we can kind of lightly tune up across the spaces of our respective expertise. In the meantime, of course, we have this rapid pace of technology, which can be both a benefit and a bane, a sort of adverse effect if we are not able to really be on top of the level of standards and capabilities required. So very simply, we organize around a common purpose, work to improve the dialogue and shared understanding at the crossroads, and leave at the end of the day, hopefully, with more participants having a greater sense of the goal around the purpose of that day. I'll just mention that all of the workshops that we've held are publicly archived. Increasingly, we will also have audio slides to accompany these slides. And again, what we feel is this is actually part of something else important, and that is new forms of organizing, but forms of organizing that enable the types of performance improvements and breakthrough innovations, whether they be more on the technical side or more on the cultural side. And part of that is the cultural change is moving from what some of our federal agencies have been more of a need-to-know environment to a need-to-share, and increasingly building an infrastructure that is premised on the principle of sharing. And then, of course, to do that, we need, in order for these spaces to be sustained and to be effective, they need to provide the type of environments that diverse people can participate in and not be overwhelmed by the complexity either of our unique language and terms as well as the technical complexity. One of these organizing forms are communities of practice or virtual organizations. I meant to hold up, and I'll hold up a little later and maybe pass around. Richard, could you hold up that book right there, the black cover, and maybe pass that around? I think it's called Beyond Being There. I have a link to this report. It has come out recently through the National Science Foundation and represents some very good thinking, questions, and recommendations around virtual organizations, kind of another term that we're actually using today. But we've got communities of interest. About 20, 30 years ago, the term was network improvement communities, as coined by Doug Englebart. And so there's something that we feel that's needed, and it is the right balance and augmentation of light organizing of people and a good framework that includes the right range of technical capabilities and platforms. In the federal government, some of it goes under the rubric of enterprise architecture, and again, our principles are open collaboration with open standards. This is a series where we ask lots and lots of questions. A lot of them, to kind of boil it down to the essence, is, again, part of the scoping of this report that we're passing around, and that is how can these important and diverse communities form around appropriate purposes and build a level of shared understanding that's needed and that really draws upon the best creativity from all. And then how can we practice to reach the level of performance needed? What are some of the cross-boundary scenarios? And that's a big part of our workshop today. And what is the role of collaborative prototyping? Again, in the last few years, some of these lightweight tools, there's just been a kind of a flurry of interest. I guess the one thing I would say, we've got to be a little careful that we don't lead with the technology, because I think we know how to do that pretty well, and that's been a part of what we've done in the past, whether the technology is light or heavy. So we need to kind of get the right balance and really understand what people need. So the workshop series has a number of sponsors, including my agency at GSA, where I work in the Intergovernmental Solutions Office. Also joining me from the Emerging Technology Subcommittee that we co-chair is Richard Spivak. This is a body that's part of the Architecture and Infrastructure Committee of the CIO Council. And also, we've been supported, and I'd like to welcome Ernest McGuffey here, who is the Deputy Director of the National Coordination Office, under which the science agencies that conduct IT research and development organize, and they are a subcommittee on networking and information technology R&D, and a number of coordinating groups, including one that I co-chair, which is long, and we call it SO, and that's the reason for that. It's Social, Economic, and Workforce Implications of IT and IT Workforce Development. I won't mention these others here, but there are about three of seven different coordinating groups under this subcommittee. And if you're interested to know more, please speak to Ernest as well as go to the NIDRD.gov site. I'll kind of skip through these, but on the CIO Council slide, these workshops are seen also as a place to overcome the insularity that would fragment the potential of our technology if it's being done in a vacuum and not kind of tuned up at the right level. So we see these workshops as kind of an organizing play to better understand and gain foresight and discernment around capabilities. I think in some cases, for those of you that have worked in some of the OASIS centers that we'll be hearing about today, that worked in areas of metadata and ontology, you realize that it's more the credible commitments across the right participants that matter, and when those right sets of commitments are in place, then kind of like music notation, then some pretty significant performance advances can occur. And that's when our technology really can augment our capabilities. Kind of the mantra almost for the workshop series is in design we either hobble or support people's natural ability to express forms of expertise. And what we really seek to do is to support the expanded communities that draw upon the multiple expertise. This is kind of blued out, but it's the subcommittee activities include these monthly workshops. They're included in the CIO Council's strategic plan. We've done some significant work through the workshops to develop policy, including the data reference model, the geospatial profile, and we also have a life cycle process for forming communities of interest around promising capabilities, and that would be our ET.gov work by Jim Disbro. So kind of what we learned is that this is important, that connecting the cultural dots without this, we certainly can invest in technology, but it probably won't give us the type of performance that we might like. So this is about the dialogue, openness, and transparency among the communities that must take place, helping people to see the whole picture, practice the possible scenarios such as those that we are going through today, and the opening up the space such as this public workshop. So again, being able to see a whole picture, even in our rapidly changing emergency events, that situational awareness, how that's achieved effectively is an important part of formulating and responding to the challenge appropriately. In addition, that again, that level of trust that allows the type of right dialogue among communities to meet the challenges, make the agreements that mitigate risk, and of course, that can also support our ability to better allocate resources and not be reinventing the wheel. This lessons learned is related to the lightweight Web 2.0 type collaboration space that supports workshop series. If you've been to the Wiki site, you'll see how the organizers of this workshop have really made it easy for people like Richard and I to put the event together by their active contributions. And we have a number of communities or projects that are interested in this collab space and also in some quiet versions of the space. And this is, I think, part of both the preparatory for emergency response as well as in settings of rapid action. Again, to have the right visibility of what's happening is very important. We've been doing this, as I mentioned, for a while. We feel that it's important to have a type of setting like this to both draw upon the best from the entrepreneurs and the capabilities that they are developing. And, of course, those innovators benefit when they can pilot and be kept abreast of the real challenges as reflected in scenarios. And we're, as I mentioned, continuing to understand what virtual organizations can and should be, both nationally, and I'll just mention, I'm also detailed to the Department of Energy Office of Science, but being exposed to virtual organizations in a global setting. And through this workshop, I know last summer, we brought in, by Skype remotely, a presenter from Mumbai, India, who led an organizing response of global volunteers in the aftermath of the tsunami. Very lightweight means of drawing together information about who's missing, which aid agencies were flying, where. We just used a weekly blog and Flickr, and he was joined by an individual from the Office of Naval Research, which has a mission to respond in the event of a humanitarian challenge of global proportions. And it was really quite interesting because the two, sort of the very light digital duct tape, tsunami response was very important to the Office of Naval Research endeavor, which was seemed a little heavy. So a little light, a little heavy, and get the communities talking. So that was quite useful. And we do this again every month. Invite you back. We've got plans in place for these two workshops and a couple more, but I will invite your ideas for future workshops.